Hello, St. Paul's Sunday morning Bible class. This is Pastor Cheryl, and we're here digging deeper again into our third session dealing with the subject of demon possession. We begin our study with text of Mark, seeing how Jesus was constantly driving out demons throughout his ministry. In our second session, we saw how the subject of demon possession and Satan's tempting permeates the scriptures from beginning to end. And then we took up the present-day example of the Malagasy Lutheran Church in Madagascar, where we see the landscape of demon possession and the demonic looking very much like Israel in the days of Jesus' ministry. Today, we finally come to the concluding session where we are simply asking ourselves, do demons then live near me? Well, let's get to it. In order to begin our study, I think we first have to share a couple of observations. Number one, we need to have a discussion of belief systems. The cultures we've studied so far, for example, ancient Israel and present-day Madagascar, have or had traditional beliefs that are connected to the spiritual realm. That was a lot of what we talked about in the last two sessions. Some might call these animistic beliefs or pagan beliefs. One point to consider when thinking of these beliefs is the centrality of this life, this world, this place, instead of an otherworldly perspective, such as one would get with a system like Christianity that speaks of the believer's ultimate goal of, for example, eternal life in heaven or eternal life in the new creation. So in Christianity, there's a great sense of outward looking away from oneself, an objective perspective. But in these others, there's much view much more close to home, the spiritual realm, the things of this life. So firstly, we want to observe something about different belief systems. Secondly, we want to remember the trickery of Satan. There's a great connection between belief systems that are focused on this world and the trickery of the old evil foe. We know that Satan was cast out of heaven and has been confined to this world. In fact, in the hymn, A Mighty Fortress, which we referred to earlier, Luther calls Satan this world's prince. When people look around this world or this realm or space for answers or help or blessings or hope and the like, they're not looking to a safe source because Satan is very much alive and active in this place. Jesus noted in John chapter 8 that Satan is the father of lies. When he lies, tempts, and deceives, he's doing what he does best. And he does that all around us, or as we said in our title, near me. If the object of our faith is not the one true God, who is outside of ourselves, then we might say we are treading in dangerous waters. More than that, if the object of our faith is something of the earth, myself, or something around me, then we are directly opening ourselves up to the realm of the satanic, where the devil and his demons work overtime. So then again, the question, do demons live near me? That's the whole point of this third session. And we might answer simply, yes. Demons live near us. Demons are present all over the world. Now, we got to think about it. I don't think anyone knows exactly, you know, what their address is. But it seems clear that the devil's evil angels are close at hand, ready to pounce. Regarding the location of the demons and the subject of, quote, possession, it does seem that demons want to, or they would like to, or they're supposed to, make their home in people or things, even as the biblical accounts show, as well as the present-day examples that we reflected upon from Madagascar. But now we might ask again, why is demon possession seemingly more evident and occurring more frequently in some places and not others? To answer this question, we might first consider the subject again of belief systems that we brought up earlier. So a lot of people have asked, and we've talked about this recently, Pastor, why does it seem like, you know, there really is demon possession going on regularly? It's even a point, as we said before, of pastoral practice in Madagascar to drive out demons and to talk about this and discuss and actually help people recover from demon possession. But then in the United States, we don't really talk about this very much at all. Why does it seem that demon possession is more evident and occurring more frequently in some places and not others? So the conversation of belief systems, currently, specifically, in the United States now. Well, Israel in Jesus' day and present-day Madagascar were and are places where animistic, pagan beliefs were the norm, were standard. They were common and are common. The practice of ongoing interaction with the spiritual realm was and is a common part of everyday life and practice. However, this way of thinking and believing is not as normal in the present-day United States. For many years, you might have said that the U.S. has been a theistic culture, and even some would argue that the United States is a Christian culture. Whatever the case, it has been somewhat normal in the United States to believe in God, who is in heaven and is at least generally otherworldly. Like, God is out of this world, and you can imagine the founders of our country bending their knee and even invoking the language of God in speeches and prayers. So in general, the belief systems in the U.S. have not focused on the earth and the land and the dead and the spiritual realm, the spirits, and so on. Well, not only that, but our country has more recently experienced a rise in popular atheism, not only in private life, but also in public life. And this is kind of an interesting part of this whole message. Atheism says no to God, no to spirits, no to demons, to angels, to Satan, to ghosts, to anything that you can't see. Popular atheism is very much a fan of popular materialism, which emphasizes science and the study of material things over belief or evidence or anything relating to a spiritual realm or to heaven or to hell. So, for example, while a court in Haiti or Madagascar might hear and understand and believe that the man on trial murdered his family because he was actually demon-possessed, a court in the United States, on the other hand, might not believe that at all and might rather like to say, well, that he was schizophrenic or high or bipolar or momentarily insane or really anything other than he was demon-possessed. Having said all that, even though many people are theists in the United States, believing in a God beyond the earth, and many people are atheists, not believing in anything they can't see, these beliefs don't mean that Satan and the demonic do not exist in the United States. We just might not as readily perceive them. So back to the Bible. The Bible is clear, as we read in 1 Peter, that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking out whom he may devour. And in Job, we read that the Lord called out to Satan, asking, "From where have you come?" And you might remember, Satan responds, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." Well, from these texts, we get the impression that Satan and his demons permeate the earth, and they're not bound to any geographical barriers like Satan says, "Well, sorry, I'm a citizen of, you know, Madagascar or the island of Haiti or something. I can't go to the United States. I don't have my passport or something." No. The Bible shows that Satan is prowling. Satan is roaming. In their movements, they are definitely on the prowl, looking to devour anyone who is vulnerable. Just look at Satan's work back in the beginning in Genesis with Adam and Eve. Clearly, he's there in the garden intentionally attacking the crown of God's creation, that is mankind, or at that time, Adam and Eve. I think it's very interesting to think about that. Satan found them. He went directly to the man and the woman. And when we think about it, we mentioned John chapter 8 a moment ago. In that chapter, Jesus says specifically, "The devil was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." If what's presented in the Bible about Satan is true, then we should be alert to Satan and his demons at work throughout our culture, not necessarily only seen in open and obvious manifestations of like the devil or spirits, whatever we think they should look like, but especially manifested in Satan's goals. For example, what did Jesus say of him in John chapter 8? He is a murderer and he is a liar and there is no truth in him. Satan's goals has to do with killing and lying and making people not able to see or know what is true, the exact opposite of what the Lord Jesus desires of his people. So if what's presented in the Bible about Satan is true, then we should be alert to Satan and his demons at work throughout our culture, not necessarily only seen in open and obvious manifestations of the devil or spirits, but especially in what Satan wants to see happening. So where we see murder and lies and that which is false promoted as that which is true, there, if nothing else, we can say we see the goals of Satan being carried out. So, considering these points, we might conclude, obviously, Satan and the demonic are present all over the U.S. And now, thoughts might begin to pour into our minds, and this is what probably we were all waiting for, like, what are the specific manifestations of this occurring in our culture in the United States? Well, let's just begin to make lists and start thinking about these things. Well, remember those Salem witch trials of yesteryear, 1600s? How about that voodoo shop in New Orleans? Or what about the shaman at the casino resort on the Indian reservation? And then there's those games, the Ouija boards, the Dungeons and Dragons, the tarot cards, the horoscopes. Now, these things and many more can be discovered through video gaming. Games like Diablo, and shivers, where devils are put on center stage. Moving on to movies and videos, and all of Hollywood interested in beaming into our homes a presentation of Satan and the demonic. Many people remember at least hearing word of singer Sam Smith's performance of Unholy not many years ago at the Grammys, dressed in red and black with horns, singing a song about a man committing adultery. In general, the demonic is present all around us in our culture. Any place where we are encouraged to take our eyes away from Jesus and his word and place our attention and interest in ourselves and our own thoughts and our own words. So here we need to remember what Satan's first temptation was. Remember there when he cornered Eve? He says to Eve, "Did God actually say to you not to eat of any tree of the garden?" And then he simply lies. "You will not surely die." A complete and total lie. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Satan, right away in Genesis chapter 3, finds Adam and Eve, the crown of God's creation, and intentionally tempts them with pride of self. So Satan and his demons still tempt us away from God's will of love toward God and neighbor. For example, consider the Ten Commandments. We have this vertical relationship and this horizontal relationship and this call to love. The greatest command or the fulfillment of all the commandments is to love. And Satan wants to twist that and turn it on ourselves. So instead of looking outward at God and neighbor and loving them, he wants to tempt us to think and look and lust after ourselves and to feed our own pride. So being like God and being the source of our own knowledge and decisions is basic to Satan's tempting and the goals of the demonic. And now here is where we'll use a practical example that we mentioned not long ago in Bible class around Christmas time. I think most notably for us in Southwest Iowa in the last couple months in this discussion was the recent satanic display at the Iowa State Capitol put on by the Iowa Atheist and Free Thinkers Group, along with the, quote, Satanic Temple. You might remember this. In the rotunda at the Iowa State Capitol, there was a display of a Baphomet, the horned god, as a popular symbol of witchcraft and Satanism. It depicts the devil as a goat at the left hand in Christ's judgment scene. Representatives of the group said that the display was part simply of their free speech, that they didn't believe in the devil and were simply there to promote free speech and free thinking, and that they needed to be there as an alternative to other such displays like those nasty nativity scenes. Interestingly, if you would go to the Satanic Temple's website, however, you would learn much more about what the display and what the Satanic Temple stands for. In fact, if you go to the Satanic Temple's website, the very first thing that you see is a message, and many actually messages of abortion. The Satanic Temple, right at the very top, there's a banner on their website that talks all about abortion. It talks about different cases across the country where abortion and abortion rights are being fought and so on and so forth. If you dig into the website more, you can find your way to the Satanic Temple's seven tenets. And many of those seven tenets cause you to think that it's nothing more than a promotion of the atheist and free thinkers group. We're just talking about freedom and rights and autonomy, and really, in general, highlighting the individual. So what the individual thinks and the individual's will is more important than anything else. And you can see how that relates to the whole abortion or the subject of abortion. It is the individual's freedom to act according to its own desire, even if that means taking the innocent life of another in the case of abortion. Notice that what the Satanic Temple does highlight more and more, or all over, is the individual right, the individual will, the individual autonomy over everything else. Interestingly, just like Satan wanted to do with Eve in Genesis chapter 3, Satan tempted Eve, puffing her up, wanting her to think that it was right and it was good, and it was okay to think of what she wanted most, as most important, even though God said differently. So whether it's Dungeons and Dragons, horror movies, demons and video games, abortion clinics, satanic music, voodoo, spiritualism, animism, invading mainline Christianity, or whatever, the point is that Satan assaults the truth wherever it exists. Satan doesn't want Christ to be proclaimed clearly. He doesn't want Christ to be proclaimed at all. He wants to lie. He wants to utter what is false everywhere. So, well then, what are we supposed to do about that? Well, in his book, Bruce Fredrickson, writing in How to Respond to Satanism, he offers some very simple and clear solutions or strategies for the Christian. And the first thing that he says there toward the end is that it's very important to realize that Satan and the demonic are real. Now, of course, we've been talking about this from the first session. The first session was all about how the scriptures present Satan and the demonic as real. Then the next section was all about how our pastors in Madagascar certainly understand and believe that Satan and the demonic are real and that they're active and so on and so forth. Well, he's simply saying to us here in the United States, hey guys, wake up. Satan is real. So, recognizing that Satan is real, he says, secondly, be alert to Satan's motives and methods. And this is something that we have stated. We stated and we recognize, even quoting Jesus, what Satan is like. He is a murderer. He wants to kill. He is a liar. He wants to lie. And he wants to display what is false as though it was true and what is true as though it was false. So we need to be alert to these things and recognize that, again, as we said before, behind every false statement, every lie, and every murder, there stands Satan applauding. He loves these things and these actions. So we don't necessarily have to say, oh, look, behind the corner, there's Satan or there's the demon or whatever. But recognize that whenever these things are taking place, this is what Satan wants. Now, I have here at this point a little personal reflection as I've been studying this and thinking specifically about the idea of atheism and materialism, all of those things that simply deny the existence of God. I happen to think that denying the existence of God is one of the most illogical things that anyone could ever do. For as the scriptures say, every house is built by someone. I mean, this is logical. The builder of all things is God. In order to have a thing, there has to be a maker, you know, a creator, a starter. And so, not to get sidetracked, but just think with me for a moment. Isn't it interesting? Satan's goals are to deceive and to lie and to call truth false and what is false true. So all of those atheists out there that adamantly deny the existence of God, that would seem to be, to me, that they're kind of on the side of Satan. Like Satan would be clapping for that. He'd be like, yeah, you go, you atheists. And then it was interesting that when we considered the display of the horned goat in the rotunda in the Iowa State Capitol, that display was sponsored in part both by the Iowa Free Thinkers and Atheist Association or whatever, and together with the Satanic Temple. That marriage or that connection is not lost on me. And so, as we are, number two, to be alert to Satan's motives and methods, I'm not against considering the denunciation of God by the atheists as part of Satan's attacking. So, number three, Fredrickson says, resist the devil. So not only realize that Satan is real, be alert to Satan's motive, but actively be resisting Satan. Be ready to stand up and resist the devil however and whenever he tries to lead us astray from Christ. And this, of course, is consistent with the scriptures, with James, and with what Paul would say, and Peter. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. And finally, in the midst of resisting him, cling to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. John writes in Revelation, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That is, they overcame the dragon in this war in heaven. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so we conclude saying, yes, we believe that Satan and the demonic are alive and well in the United States, even near to us. They may not be alive and well always in the same manner or form that they are manifested in Haiti or Madagascar, or that they were at times in the past in the Gospels or elsewhere in the Scriptures, but certainly the goals of Satan and the demonic are well at work and going on all around us. But we need not fear. Christ is with us. And he gives us the power to resist the devil and to cling to him in all things. For example, you might say, well, what does clinging to Jesus look like? Martin Luther encourages us to always recall our baptisms. And so he says in this simple prayer, in the morning prayer, or in the catechism, in light of the morning prayer, he says, in the morning when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, and so on. Well, what a wonderful thing. Luther is encouraging us to be encouraged by the Holy Scriptures, where Paul and many others speak of our lives being wrapped up in Christ. In Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The old is gone. That is the old evil foe, the old Adam. The old is gone. The new has come. And the new is Jesus Christ, the conqueror of sin, death, and the power of the devil. So every morning, as we can cling to Christ in this way, waking up and recalling our baptisms, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has put himself on me. He has robed me with his righteousness. He has adorned me with his jewels. We can wake up and know that I am his. Baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And as we said before, it is in that strong name that Satan can't stand. He must run away with like a wounded dog with his tail between his legs, whimpering all the way. Hoo, hoo, hoo. So this is what we do to Satan when we wake up and speak the name of the triune God. And it's what happens when we eagerly and gladly hear Jesus' word. So when we go to church and when we study his scriptures, when we learn more of him, and there again is the name of Jesus, loud and proud, rattling around in our ears and in our minds and our hearts and throughout our lives. And as we run to the table of our Lord, to the Lord's Supper, and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, all of these gifts of the Lord, in many ways, are wonderful safeguards against the tempting of the old evil foe. And so we gladly hear and learn of Christ. We receive his gifts and we rejoice in him. And this is definitely a way to resist Satan and to keep him far from us. Well, in closing today, there are a couple of texts that have come to mind throughout this study but are wonderful, that I think are appropriate at this time. One from Hebrews 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus and no other, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And also a reflection from Romans chapter 8. Paul writes, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, we say amen to that. Friends in Christ, we have finished, finally, this series on demon possession. And I couldn't be happier. It's a wonderful thing that we've had opportunity to go through this and study. And it's a wonderful thing that we're done rejoicing in Jesus and his life and death for us, the gifts that he continues to freely give, and the knowledge that we are his. And in regard to Satan and his demons, though they may be near me, we need not fear, for Christ is near as well. Friends, thanks for joining. Have a wonderful day.